I memorized Psalm 23 off the back of my grandmother's funeral bulletin when I was 8. If you haven't yet memorized Psalm 23, put it at the top of your to-do list. You may not need those words today, but one day soon, the shadow of death will be cast over you. And on that day, if you have those words treasured in your heart, you will count yourself grateful. Psalm 23 has put more griefs and worries to rest than all the cards and flowers, calls and notes, nice meals, and cute little poems combined. It has destroyed thieving faithlessness, doubt, and sorrow on more occasions than there are saints in heaven. It has given comfort to the poor, redirection to the imprisoned, grit to the martyrs. It has been the balm of the ill. It has been the companion of the widow. It has been the godparent of the orphan. Soldiers have recited it and strengthened, charged into battle. The dying have clung to it and seen their drab hospital rooms converted to shining cathedrals. Family and friends have seen ones, loved ones pass away with those words serenely floating in the air, and they grieved, not because their loved one was gone, but because they could not go too. The Lord is my shepherd. David often describes God as king, deliverer, rock, or shield. But in Psalm 23, he is much more personal. David describes God as our shepherd. He's in good company in doing so. Moses, Solomon, Isaiah, Micah, Zechariah, Jesus, Peter, and Paul all described God as our shepherd. It's an unexpected pick. Being a shepherd has always been a job looked down upon. They're out in the middle of nowhere, all by themselves, working all day, every day. No one with them, just them and the sheep. Usually in families that had sheep, the youngest child would always get stuck with the worst chores, as was the case with David. Yet God lowers his station in describing himself as a shepherd so that we can understand his level of care for us. You remember that David was a shepherd. So this wasn't someone with some romantic picture of beautiful green rolling hills and cute fluffy little creatures. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd," clearly remembering the vast loneliness, clearly remembering fighting off vicious predators, and clearly remembering the stubbornness of his flock. David does not write, "The Lord is a shepherd." He writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." This is not just theoretical, this is personal. And it says, "The Lord," he doesn't say, "The Lord is like my shepherd," but "The Lord is my shepherd." This isn't just some fluffy picture. This is real. Many people today act like they don't need a shepherd. They have Super Walmart. They have their parents. They have the government. What do you need a shepherd for? Whether they acknowledge it or not, the Lord is still their shepherd. This psalm is not for the independent. It is not for the self-sufficient. It is reserved for the poor in spirit. Sheep are foolish and are fully dependent on their shepherd. Until you can come to that point of saying, I am foolish before God and fully dependent on Him, you have no business saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's one heck of a claim. I shall not want. Can you say that? Honestly? I shall not want. My needs are met. My supplies are sufficient. My cup is running over. My coveting is over. My home, my vehicles, my bank account, it is enough. I shall not desire more than my shepherd provides. Can you say that? Honestly? If you come to the point of being able to do so, it is only because of the generosity of your shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me. The shepherd is the guide. The sheep don't need to know where the green pastures are. The sheep don't have to be able to find paths of righteousness or still waters. The only thing the sheep need to know is their shepherd. Sounds like an ideal life, doesn't it? You have everything you need. You have a guide. Your needs are met. When our lives are not that picturesque ideal, most of the blame goes to our wanting what God has not given us. David does not say, I shall want. But if we're honest, we do. But our lives are too precious to be spent pursuing junk we don't need. Too precious and too short. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. This is the first cloud in this beautiful scene. This is the introduction of a tar black cloud coming in on a beautiful day. Previously, David wrote of green pastures, still waters, paths of righteousness. So why darken it by talking about the shadow of death? Why go from G rating to PG-13? Because even if the Lord is our shepherd, we will still walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We will fear death, try to avoid it. We will see loved ones die. And one day soon, we shall die too. Whether you follow the shepherd or do not. All will one day walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yet all do not walk through it the same. Near death, those who know the Lord walk calmly. They do not frantically panic, but confidently stroll. Near death, those who know the Lord do not walk to the valley of the shadow of death. They walk through it. When you are alive here, you are at home with God. When you pass on to another pasture, you shall not change your shepherd. You shall not change your flock. You shall only pass from this field to one nearby. Brothers and sisters, life goes by in a blink. One day the shadow of death will be cast upon you. Enemies to your faith are nearby. But the shepherd is nearer still. Once the substance of death has been destroyed by Jesus, only the shadow of death remains. But the shadow of a dog cannot bite. The shadow of a sword cannot cut. The shadow of death cannot destroy. And wherever there is a shadow, there is also a light.